Welcome to the Playtech Notice of Q2 KPI and Trading Update conference call on the 20th of July 2011. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Moorweiser. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for taking the time to join us today for this analyst conference call to review Playtech's 2011 second quarter key performance indicators and trading update. This is the Chief Executive Moorweiser speaking, and I'm delighted to have with me today our new Chief Financial Officer, David Matheson. As you can see from our recent announcements, it has been a very busy quarter and indeed a very busy week. Following on from the launch of regulated Italian cash poker and casino on Monday, this morning we announced the signing of a significant contract with Gala Coral. I'm also pleased to have been able to announce the acquisition of Mobenga, the leading mobile sports betting developers. We will talk about all of these events later, but I want to begin by taking you through the highlights of the second quarter's financial performance. In accordance with the protocol agreed with William Hill, we can only provide information on William Hill Online when it has been made public by William Hill in its interim results announcement on the 5th of August. We are therefore unable to disclose our gross income and share of profit. Financially, Playtech has continued its solid start to the year, putting in a strong performance compared to the second quarter of 2010. This is particularly true when stripping out the impact of the closure of the French market on the comparable period. On a like-for-like basis, total revenues were up 19%, and on an absolute basis, were up 7% over the prior year to 39.6 million euros. Looking to the quarter-on-quarter growth, total revenues were up 8% when compared to the first quarter of 2011. Casino delivered another strong quarter with revenues showing strong growth of 24% compared to Q2 2010 to 27.3 million euros and 7% higher than Q1 2011. This growth was driven by various licenses both in Europe and Asia. Bingo has again delivered a strong quarter with revenues up 32% to 3.2 million euros over the second quarter of 2010, and this is the first time we can give a proper year-on-year comparison. Internally, the team has focused on further integration of Virtual Fusion within the Playtech environment and on the migration of the Italian network onto Virtual Fusion's platform. Poker has struggled in the first half of the year, having been impacted by the ongoing difficult economic environment in Europe, where the Italian market has been quite subdued. The market has experienced considerable volatility, principally in player deposits, following the U.S. indictments of certain operators and the subsequent suspension of one license by the AGCC. We have also separately identified the 2 million euros contribution from VideoBet for this quarter, as this is new and incremental revenue coming on stream. In our financial accounts, this remains in the other income line item, but we will review this over the coming months. These results reflect the strength of Playtech's business model and the benefit that our scale and breadth of our capability can offer, whether by product category, geography, or distribution channel. With the successful conclusion of the PTTS acquisition, we now have a further diversification of the revenue profile. At our interim results on the 25th of August, we will review our cost profile in detail and also share with you our views on how PTTS fits into the overall business and financial structure. Until then, we will focus on the revenue drivers in the business. What is clear from the announcements this quarter is that the investments we have made in the business over the past year have produced material contracts such as the COPPA agreement in California and the Gala Coral contract announced today. Both of these are set to deliver high-quality regulated market income in the future, as will our efforts in both Italy and Spain. Looking at the pipeline of new opportunities, we are in late-stage discussions with a number of potential licensees across the product range. We expect to sign more contracts in the coming months, which we will be able to share with you at the appropriate time. I'm pleased to say that current trading is slightly ahead of Q2 numbers during a traditional summer slowdown, and our robust and underlying performance will be supported by the launch of new products in Italy and Spain during the third quarter. Daily activity for the first 18 days of Q3 is more than 25% ahead of Q3 2010 on an absolute basis, and this excludes any contribution from PTTS. Turning to the operational highlights of the second quarter, it is clear we continue to push forward on a number of major products which will set us up for incremental revenue growth both in the second half of 2011 and beyond. VideoBet's rollout for GlobalDraw was completed as scheduled in the quarter and has been performing very well. We completed the PTTS acquisition at the end of the quarter and will consolidate its results from the start of the second half, providing fuller guidance on PTTS, which is trading in line with our expectations when we announced the company's interim results on 25th of August. In Italy, we undertook an intensive program to prepare our licensees for the introduction of newly regulated product categories. Two of our major licensees, Titan Poker and William Hill Online, also joined the Italian Poker Network in advance of the new regulations. Similarly, in Spain, we are undertaking a substantial exercise to ready Casino Gran Madrid's launch in the area of Madrid, and it is currently in its final beta testing stage. We have also received formal approval from the Maltese Regulatory Authority for the live dealer product. Following our acquisition of PTTS, Playtech is able to diversify its income streams and enjoy valuable flexibility in addressing markets which are themselves going through substantial change. Discussions with potential turnkey licensees are progressing in a number of regulated and soon-to-be-regulated markets. The flexibility brought to the group by PTTS was instrumental in our winning the COPPA mandate in California. We will be able to draw on our experience within PTTS in order to develop a greenfield operation in California ahead of any opening of a regulated poker market. The COPPA agreement gives Playtech a key position in the largest poker-playing state in the U.S. and is very significant for us, as California will be an extremely important liquidity pool for poker. We will be preparing a play-for-fun site for COPPA in the coming months, which will begin the process of building a COPPA brand and online presence in advance of any regulation. Closer to home, today's Gala Coral contract follows the earlier announcement that we were past MOU stage at the end of May. There has been a detailed exercise to scope out what will be a very significant mandate for Playtech. As we indicated in the statement this morning, not only will we migrate all of Gala Coral's internet gaming business onto Playtech's platform, but Gala will also utilize our IMS technology platform as its sole back-office system for all of its online products, including sports betting, which is not provided by Playtech. Playtech is already well-known to Gala, as it was an early adopter of the VideoBet software for its FOBT estate, and we see significant opportunities to work together across the platform's online, remote, and land-based channels. This is a long-term contract, and Gala has the potential to become one of our largest 4 or 5 licensees over the coming years, and the inclusion of Gala Bingo onto the Virtual Fusion network will produce a network which serves most of the well-established operators in the UK market. Finally, a word on the acquisition of Mobenga, which we also announced today. As with other sectors, what has become apparent over the past 12 months is that the growth of smartphones and tablets is making mobile gaming a key constituent of the online channel and one which is now generating significant revenues in its own right. The impact of smartphones and content-rich apps has led to profound changes in the way businesses interact with their customers, and Playtech is leading the way in the gaming sector by producing innovative features that will benefit its licensees in this important developing market. I believe mobile gaming is more than just another channel for existing customers. It is also becoming a key route to attract players onto a platform, particularly through the sports channel, and becoming a key acquisition tool in its own right. On a number of operators, between 20 to 30% of new customers are playing via mobile, in part linked to the growth of in-play betting. Once there, the key opportunity is then to cross-sell other products to that player, and this is where Playtech has traditionally excelled in the online arena. The acquisition of Mobegam brings to Playtech the leading developer of mobile sports betting technology. It is the one with the most flexible product, and we believe the right solution to integrate into the Playtech platform. Founded by Christian Reiter, who was formerly the CEO of Expect, Mobenga brings real expertise in technology and methodology, which is highly complementary to Playtech, together with a clear track record and impressive client base. It was this combination that convinced us an acquisition was the right way to address this market. I see strong parallels with our acquisition of GTS, which advanced Playtech's web-based technology capabilities by 2 years, and brought an open platform capability together with major sportsbook relationships. I'm convinced that Mobenga will be a similar significant addition in the mobile environment, and I'm excited by this opportunity, which I believe positions us ahead of the curve and the competition in a key emerging segment. To conclude, as I mentioned earlier, sitting with me is our new CFO, David Mathewson, who took up the role a few weeks ago. Since then, David has been getting up to speed with our finance team, and for those of you who haven't yet met him, you will get a chance to hear from him at our interim results presentation and meet him at that time and on our subsequent investor roadshow. I am very much enjoying working with David while he was a non-executive director, and know this will continue as our relationship strengthens even further in his current role. Thank you for listening to me, and we would now be very happy to take any questions you may have.
Thank you, sir. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. There'll be a short pause whilst participants register for a question. Your first question comes from Mr. Simon Davis from Colin Stewart. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning. A couple of questions, if I may. Firstly, can you talk a bit about your expectations in terms of the potential impact of the introduction of licensing and taxation in the UK market? Secondly, can you just give us a progress update in terms of the sports platform? Because obviously with the acquisition of Mobenga, that might give you the potential to leverage that in terms of possible broader license deals. And finally, can you just give us a sense of the run rate for revenues and profits from the Mobenga business?
If I could just respond on the first bit on the tax, Simon. It's really too early to be definitive about this. We'll obviously have an impact on the WHO 29% that we hold there. But as protocol allows here, we've just got to wait for WHO to make the lead on that one. It does appear that anything in law will be probably in the year 2013, so we're some way away here. The structure we've got with our licensees does not necessarily mean we have to take a hit here, but it's really too early to say, Simon, but we believe it will not be material. And I'd just like to leave it at that. There are too many uncertainties on the legislation. We really can't comment further than that at this point.
Yeah.
Simon, if I may add, I will say, and I will refer to certain notes that were published at the time of the statement, is that there is the basic assumption is that it will change the market, and certain assumptions were that they are well-established operators will in fact gain from that, gaining market share from smaller and mid-sized operators that will struggle given the tax. Given the fact that our exposure in the UK market is such that we have most of the well-established operators operating at least one of our products, and obviously following this morning's announcement, we definitely believe, and this was discussed with them, that they do anticipate to gain market share if and when when the tax will be introduced. So it can have obviously a positive angle as well.
Right.
In terms of the sports, sport is obviously a very important segment for our business, very limited these days, but still we, the same way we approached video bets 5 years ago, we approach sports now. The idea is to build the relevant and the most promising building blocks for future growth, but the way to do that is to do that and invest, so we will feel very comfortable with the product, that it is a leading product. We continuously develop our sports betting system. We feel more and more comfortable that we will be able to start licensing it. It may take a little bit more time, but we definitely see that as a future, mid-term, long-term, future growth engine for Playtech. Obviously, the exposure through Mobenga to sports, and Mobenga, by the way, is a platform that was integrated to each and every supplier in the marketplace, each and every sports betting platform, gives us the ability to, when we start licensing the product, to have a complete solution that is fully integrated and is in fact one solution that includes sports for internet as well as the mobile channel. In terms of Mobenga, we haven't disclosed the numbers. They turned into profitability very limited in the second quarter of the year. The expectations for the year that they will become profitable, but it's limited. I will point out, and I think that this is the real story here, I will point out that Mobenga has 4 licenses that launched with them. We named a few this morning, St. James, Paddy Power, NordicBet, Unibet. There are more than 10 operators that haven't launched yet. They committed to work with Mobenga. They have an agreement in place, and definitely the project's underway, but they haven't launched yet. So we haven't seen a single pound coming through from these new licenses. Obviously, we will update the market in due course, but definitely this is the real story for us. The same way GTS had limited profits and turned into a very profitable business, we expect Mobenga to become a very profitable business in the next in the coming few quarters.
And just on the sports platform, well, timing-wise, when should we expect a more aggressive launch of that product? Is that going to be a sort of H1 2012 story?
I believe that it will not be before the first half of 2012. Most likely, sometime in the first half of 2012. In fact, we had to say no to some of the customers that saw the product and felt quite comfortable with it, but we want to feel very confident. Sports betting is a mature market. There are some companies operating in this market for a long time, and therefore we want to come out with something which will be very innovative in terms of scope and capabilities.
Great, thanks.
Your next question comes from Mr. Nick Bertram from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead, sir.
Morning, gentlemen. Just a couple of questions. Can you put some more meat on the bones in terms of the poker performance and where we are now and how you see it sort of progressing going forward for the rest of the year, given the events at Full Tilt? And also, Asia seems to have been very strong in Q2. Can you give us a bit more detail on that as well, please?
Yes, definitely. Poker struggled for the whole industry in the second quarter. Well, actually, the first half of the year, on the back of what some say is unfair competition, and given the imbalanced competition between certain operators, the indictments that were put in place did not change much because players continued to play with certain operators that were indicted. However, I would say that ever since the suspension of one of the licenses by the AGCC, by Alderney, then definitely we have seen a very positive growth coming from poker. Add to that the fact that cash poker was added in and was further regulated and added in Italy, and we launched our licenses. Actually, we were the first to launch our licenses and the first to approve our and certify our product in Italy. We definitely believe that the combination of two, at least in the short term, will have a positive impact on our business, and I think that it kind of levels the playing field to an extent. In terms of Asia, as we indicated in our, we started, as you all know, we circulated, following the last call that we had, we circulated a note to all of the analysts saying that from these KPIs and onwards, we will focus on royalties. We indicated this morning the level of royalties. Asia is 22% of our revenues, so limited in terms of the overall revenues that we generate between all of our licensees. As we indicated in the last call, we negotiated certain deals with certain agreements with certain Asian licensees, which allowed them to grow faster and which allowed us to benefit from that. So this is where the growth comes from. Regardless of, I must say that regardless of the change in royalty rates, it's not just because of the royalty rates that we charge, but it's also the structure that we put in place and the fact that the licensees are growing even on top of the change in royalties. So it does not come just from the change itself.
Do you know why these licensees are growing more rapidly than they have been in the past, if it's not just simply restructuring the deal that you've got with them?
It is mainly due to the fact that we provided them with certain tools that are very much specific for the Asian market in order to address the way online gaming is done in Asia. We discussed it in the past. It's not the regular, not only the regular affiliates, but there is an agent structure, people in charge of certain areas where they focus their marketing on. It is pure online. However, I would say that the structure and the tools that we provided them that allow them to manage that were very appealing for their affiliates promoting the product as well as the players themselves. And on top of that, they started promoting certain content that we developed, which became very appealing, mainly the branded games that they now push very hard in order to grow their numbers, and it's very appealing to the Asian audience.
And do you think this will enable you to get more licensees in Asia now?
Yes, I definitely think that we can grow. The market is dominated by various sports betting operators in Asia, but we definitely now put some efforts into Asia. My guys are, in fact, now in the Philippines, and we developed certain discussions, and we believe that we can grow the number of licensees in Asia.
Cheers, thanks, Mo.
The next question comes from Mr. Richard Carter from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning. Could I ask a few questions on the US deal? Could you just talk about how you expect that to work? Is this just primarily for state, intrastate poker bill, or is that also, are there possibilities for a federal? And is the Play for Fun site going to be just for the state of California, or is that going to be outside of the state?
Yes. With regards to the Copa, I think that we mentioned that when we announced Copa, but I think that it is important to say that, and I mentioned some of that earlier in the call. I will say the following. First, California is estimated at 25% of the overall activity in the states, the most important state in terms of poker. Copa consists of more than 60 operators, physical offline operators that operate that through which the majority of the activity is going through these days in an offline mode, meaning in casinos and in card rooms. So definitely we believe that this is a very important agreement for us, and definitely not just another a license agreement in the U.S. In terms of state versus federal, it's something that is still being discussed with COPPA. They are very much focused on the state, given their presence, and they obviously support certain relevant bills in California on the state level. If there will be something on the federal level, then obviously this is something that will be discussed and agreed with COPPA, but it's part of the scope of the agreement. They want to become an operator, but their focus is the state level. In terms of play for fun, I believe that they will focus initially on California, and this is something that is still being discussed, so I can't disclose more than that at this point in time, but definitely the idea is to allow certain gaming formats that are already allowed in the U.S., whether it is Play for Fun or other formats that are allowed. We have seen certain companies, one in particular that is aiming at doing an IPO, generating a lot of money in poker in a regulated format in the U.S. So definitely what we will provide them is a very innovative tool or a very innovative set of products that will allow them to offer poker throughout various channels, both internet, mobile, social gaming, etc. So definitely the Play for Fun phase is very important for them. I can't basically disclose about their intentions, their specific intentions of how they are going to do the marketing and who they will approach.
Okay, and then just secondly, following casino and ring game poker being rolled out in Italy, am I right in thinking you can only play for a few hours a day at the moment? So can you just comment on this and explain how you expect that to develop over the next few quarters?
Yes. What happens is that in the first week you can only operate it for a very limited period of time. Then it's being extended, and only following a period of time of a few weeks, they will be able to offer it 24/7. The same way, this is the same regulations that happened when poker, bingo, and sports betting were regulated in the past. Definitely, it is important, and we see that as a positive, given the fact that they couldn't launch it beforehand. The fact that they do that gradually obviously allows the operator to start marketing, but at the same time familiarize themselves with the software. So I would say for a couple of weeks it will be limited, then it will be rolled out and they will allow it, they will offer it 24/7, and we see obviously cash tables and casino games, those that are regulated and allowed, we see that as a very promising opportunity in Italy.
Okay, and given obviously the summer in Italy, should we think the real sort of impact of this shouldn't really be felt till sort of mid-September?
I would say September will be a key, not because of the regulatory framework, but because July and August are very quiet periods in Italy.
Yeah.
The expectations of our licensees, even though we all said July, they were quite surprised that it happened in July, and they were very happy about it. But we all agree that given seasonality, the real upside will come from September and onwards.
Okay, thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Mr. James Hollins from the Evolution. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning. Just two. One is on EBITDA. I think you gave 25.6 million or something for Q1, which I think equates to about 15.5 million without William Hill. I was wondering if you could give us guidance on Q2 without William Hill. And the other one was, is Gala Coral using PTTS, or would you expect it to in the short term? Thanks.
Yes. I'll start with the second one, and then David will answer the first one. PTTS is not included in the Gala Coral agreement. It's a software-only, very important software-only, very strategic for us, given the IMS being the infrastructure for the overall online gaming activity, but we were focused on the software rather than the PTTS.
James, on the EBITDA, we'd rather not give that at this stage. You could just hold until the interims. We're 5 weeks away now, and you'll get obviously full disclosure then, but we just want to keep this on the revenue level at this point.
Okay, thought I'd try. Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Mr. Andrew Lee from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning. Few questions. Firstly, on the Benga, can you just tell us what the revenue business model is across the piece? Are they all on a per-transaction basis or some revenue share? Linked with that, do you have any change of control clauses in these contracts?
Andrew, this is a bit too sensitive to disclose. Obviously, the business model, I would just say that it's a combination of both. But I can't disclose more than that. There were some change of control. There were some change of control clauses, but obviously this is something that was clarified with the operators, and we feel very confident about. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. So for now, I'm assuming some are rev share and some are per transaction.
Yes.
Okay, thanks. And then just on my banker, I know you're not giving us numbers, but is there any chance you could give us an idea of what the fixed cost base is so we can at least have a stab at working out what it might be earning going forward?
Can you repeat the question, please?
I know you're not giving numbers, financials for it, but can you give us some idea of what their fixed cost base is so we can work out, using forecasts for mobile, what we might think it might make going forward?
We will disclose this information at our interim.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Just on Gala, the migration of Gala Bingo, clearly we've experienced big migrations on poker. I'm not sure we've experienced anything of this scale in Bingo. What are the risks and what are the opportunities from putting these two big platforms together?
Especially a migration from their existing platform, which is obviously it only reiterates the strength and depth of our product and the liquidity that we have in Bingo. So they will migrate from their own software and will migrate to the Virtu Fusion network. We did see some migrations happening in the past. We indicated that Unibet has done that in the past and Paddy Power has done that in the past. I must say that the outcome was very, very positive. They have seen growth, strong growth ever since their migration. I believe that on the back of the combination of the strong tool and the powerful product of Virtu Fusion, as well as the liquidity that they offer, there are a lot of positives and upsides for both companies.
Right. And then just on Gala, in terms of the sports side of things, how does that work in terms of revenues for you? You presumably don't get a rev share, but you get what, a maintenance fee, or is it just lumped into your overall service?
I would say that the IMS will now power the sports side as well, providing one point of view over all areas of the business and across all products within Gala Coral. It is the first time that it's done in the industry. Very innovative solution, complete CRM solution that, by the way, is fully integrated with our FOBT machines, the technology that powers today the FOBT machines of Gala Coral. And the business model is indeed revenue share of the activity. So there is no change from the core business model of Playtech.
Okay. And then just finally on poker, can you just remind us what split your customers get or your clients get in terms of cash poker and tournaments, please?
Yes, usually in the vast majority of the activity is cash tables. It's not tournaments. Obviously, what we try to do, for example, in Italy, is try to replicate as much as was possible and still being compliant with the Italian regulations to cash poker activity. I would say that 75% to 80% of the activity is cash tables and the rest is tournaments.
So is that revenue or is that activity?
This is revenues.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. Your next question comes from Karen Hoy from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Can you provide an update on the regulatory environment in Asia now that it's just over 20% of your business? I know that most of them are regulated in Philippines, but where are the players located? How is it split out? And what's the update on regulations there? Thank you.
Yes, there are, in terms of regulations, there are certain countries that that basically banned it. For example, Hong Kong, which is a banned country for us. There are certain countries which we don't have any exposure to, which is, for example, China. We have, and the rest are either very similar to Europe, meaning that certain online activities are not fully regulated, but they are not banned. And there are certain jurisdictions in which it's fully regulated, like the Philippines, which is very important for us, and others that consider regulating. I will not be able to name them at this point in time because, given our presence, I think that you don't find too many of our competitors operating there, partly because we believe that we have a software which answers the specific needs of the Asian market, but obviously, given our focus and strategy, focusing on regulated markets, we take it into account and we focus on those markets that are either fully regulated or allowed it.
Okay, thanks.
As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. Your next question comes from Gavin Keller from Goodbody Stockbrokers. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, guys. Hi, Moore. Hi, David. Just a quick question. In terms of bingo in Q2, the growth seems pretty strong, and it appears that obviously last year you had a full contribution from Virtue Fusion. Can you just give us a feel for how the underlying licensees are performing there, or is it new licensees coming on stream? And also, just in terms of VideoBet, could you give some colour on, outside of the LBO market in the UK and maybe in other markets, where VideoBet can grow its business from here?
Yes. With regards to bingo, most of the growth that you have seen is coming from existing licensees. Our licensees are, we believe that on the back of market share as well as the opportunity, the market presents good opportunities to grow bingo. Some of our licensees were pushing bingo quite hard using some mass media channels as the TV in order to promote the online bingo offering that they have, and it worked very well for them. We indicated that Pedipower migrated last year, Unibet towards the end of last year. So the impact of new licenses was limited, and it's mainly the existing licenses, organic growth coming from existing licenses. We do have some very interesting opportunities in the pipeline. One was obviously disclosed this morning, was announced to the market that we signed with Gala Bingo, which is one of the leading online bingo operators in the UK. Very solid business that will move across to Playtech. So I believe that going forward, the Virtue Fusion will remain a very strong and important part of our business, and it will be a combination of both. But if I, again, just to reiterate, in the first half it was mainly existing licensees, and we see still a lot of opportunities for some of our licensees with whom we work today that can still grow their bingo business quite nicely.
Okay, thanks. And in terms of VideoBet?
In terms of VideoBet, as we indicated in the past, the first two questions you have are, how many machines do you have and where I can see that? And I mentioned a few times to some of you. And definitely now that we have almost 21,000 machines and we are now deploying more machines in other countries, such as the Latin American market, together with Global Draw, then definitely we intend to establish ourselves in other markets. I think that what we achieved in the first 6 months of the year, well, actually it was 5 months, is something that hasn't happened in the industry, in the gaming industry, for a long time. A deployment of 21 or almost 21,000 machines within a very limited period of time, 5 months. I'm happy to say that the deployment was very successful. The cash box was not affected. It was very stable. And this gave us, obviously, the confidence that that we needed and the confidence that we should now look at other markets, and this is the exercise we go through these days. Remember that we just finished deploying the machines towards the end of May, and we are following that ever since then. So it's only 2 and a bit months for such a big deployment, I think, is reasonable. Now we look at further deployment of additional machines, few thousands of machines with global draw outside of the UK, and we look at certain opportunities both in the UK, Italy, and other markets as well.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, sir. There appears to be no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Thank you very much, and we hope to see you in our interim results in August.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you for your interest. It's appreciated.
That concludes the Playtech Notice of Q2 KPI and Training Update conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.